his mind. Now I want to show you something. There's a lot on prayer today. A lot. There are so many books on prayer, and so much of it is the same New Age garbage that I read when I was exploring the New Age when I was 18 to 19 years old. You wake up, you come into the church, it's in the church. Let's see the true motivation of prayer. And let's see who the real prayer warriors are. There was a revival in Scotland. The Hebrides, I hope with my Brooklyn accent, I'm getting it out correctly somehow. But the Hebrides revival in 1949, a famous evangelist, he was faithful. Duncan Campbell tells the story of what happened. These Scottish Isles that the Reformation somehow didn't reach. And it was still trapped in superstition and Romanism and all these other things. And no one was assured of salvation. And no one had the true faith that Christ gives. Let's read this story quickly. How did this gracious movement begin? In 1949, the local presbytery issued a proclamation to be read on a certain Sunday in all the free churches on the island of Lewis. This proclamation called the people to consider the low state of vital religion throughout the land and the present dispensation of divine displeasure due to growing carelessness toward public worship and the growing influence of the spirit of pleasure, sound familiar? Which was taking growing hold of the younger generation. They called on the churches to, quote, take these matters to heart and make serious inquiry what must be the end if there be no repentance. We call upon every individual as before God to examine his or her life in light of that responsibility which attends to us all, and that happily in divine mercy we may be visited with the spirit of repentance and turn again to the Lord whom we have so grieved. A lot of people know about this revival, very famous, one of the most recent ones that we've had, which really had the power of the Spirit, but I guarantee 99% don't know the two prayer warriors behind it. Two praying sisters. I am not prepared to say what effect the reading of this declaration had upon the ministers or people of the island in general, but I do know that in the parish of Barvis, a number of men and women took it to heart, especially two old women. I am ashamed to think of it. This is the minister writing. I am ashamed to think of it. Two sisters, 182 and 184, the latter blind. These two women developed a great heart concern for God to do something in the parish and gave themselves to waiting upon God in their little cottage. They couldn't make it to church. One had extreme arthritis and couldn't get to worship. The other one was blind. They're both in their 80s. And God granted their prayers, the request of their prayers. One night, God gave one of the sisters a vision. Now we have got to understand that in revival, remarkable things happen. It is supernatural. You are not moving on human levels, you are moving in divine places. In the vision, she saw the churches crowded with young people, and she told the sister, I believe revival is coming to the parish. Peggy Smith was 84 years old and blind. Her sister Christine, 2 years younger, was almost doubled up with arthritis. Yet in the early hours of a winter's morning in 1949, in their little cottage near Barvis Village on the Isle of Lewis in the Scottish Hebrides, they were to be found in earnest prayer. That morning, God visited them in a special way, giving them an unshakable assurance that the revival they and others had been praying about for months was near. Peggy, speaking in Gaelic, for they could not speak English, they were like people in Brooklyn, told the sister, this is what God has promised. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And we are dealing with a covenant-keeping God. Some months previously, Peggy had received a dream from God in which she was shown that revival was coming and the church would be crowded again with young people. At the time, that seemed most unlikely. There had been a definite movement of the Spirit of God just before World War II, but the war had taken its toll. By 1949, the younger generation was drifting away from God. After a dream, Peggy sent for a minister, James Murray McKay, and told him what she believed was a revelation from God. She asked him to call the church leaders to pray. This man of God responded, and for months, he and others met to do business with God 3 nights a week in real prayer. The minister's wife also had a dream in which she saw the church filled with people who are obviously concerned about their souls, and a stranger was in the pulpit. Revival is coming. The very same day that God gave the two elderly sisters the assurance about the coming revival, there had also been a group praying with the Reverend McKay at about 10 o'clock in a barn in Barvis, about 12 miles from Stornoway. While kneeling on the straw, they plead with Almighty God. A young deacon from the Free Church stood up and read Psalm 24, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false." He read the passage again and then challenged the praying group, "Brethren, we have been praying for weeks waiting on God, but I would like to ask now, are your hands clean? Are your hearts pure?" As they continued to wait before God, his awesome presence swept into the barn. At 4 a.m., they, in the words of Duncan Campbell, moved out of the realm of the common and the natural into the sphere of the supernatural, and that is revival. It was Duncan Campbell of the Faith Mission that Reverend McKay felt led to invite to Barvis for special meetings. The leading was confirmed by Peggy Smith. She told him that one night in a vision, the Lord had revealed to her not only that revival was coming, but also the identity of the instrument he had chosen to use, Duncan Campbell. At first, like all ministers, Duncan Campbell refused the immediate invitation and put it in his diary for the following year. When the two praying sisters heard this, they simply said, "This is what man has said. God said he was coming, and he will be here within the fortnight." And sure enough, he was. Although there was a great spirit of expectancy at the first meeting, and although there was a freedom in the spirit, nothing very remarkable happened. After the meeting, it was suggested that about 30 of them retire in a nearby cottage to spend the night in prayer. And then God begins to move. Duncan Campbell described what happened. "God was beginning to move. The heavens were opening. We were there on our faces before God. At 3 a.m., God swept in. About a dozen men and women lay on the floor speechless. Something had happened. We knew that the forces of darkness were going to be driven back and men were going to be delivered. We left the cottage at 3 a.m. to discover men and women seeking God. They walked on a country road and found three men on their faces crying to God for mercy. There was a light in every home. No one seemed to think of sleep. When Duncan and his friends gathered at the church later in the morning, the place was crowded. A stream of buses came from every part of the island, yet no one could discover who had told them to come. A butcher in his van brought seven men from a distance of 17 miles. All seven were gloriously converted. Now the revival was really underway. The Spirit of God was at work all over the church. Men and women were crying for mercy. That meeting went on until 4 a.m. the following morning. Even then, Duncan Campbell was unable to go to bed. As he was leaving the church, a messenger summoned him to go to the local police station. They were in great spiritual distress. Under the still, starlit sky, he found men and women on the road, others by the side of a cottage, and some behind the peat stack, all crying to God for mercy. The revival had come. That went on for 5 weeks with services from early morning till late at night or early in the morning. Then it spread to the neighboring parishes. What had happened in Barvis was repeated over and over again. The sacred presence of God was everywhere. Sinners found themselves unable to escape it. Before the revival, Stornoway had one of the highest drinking rates in Scotland. And Bolthins, which were illegal and unlicensed drinking places, flourished. After the revival, one publican mourned, "The drink trade on the island is ruined."
Amen.
This is a real revival. This is real prayer. It doesn't matter what you are physically. We keep saying it. It doesn't matter what your bank account is. It doesn't matter what physical shape you're in. It doesn't matter your status in society. Two sisters in their 80s, with their health destroyed, brought the mercy of God by grace through faith to their entire island because they prayed for something other than themselves. It's not a revival like the garbage you see today on TBN. They didn't pray for cars. They didn't pray for money. They didn't pray for clothes or for fame. They didn't pray for a church gymnasium. They prayed for the Spirit of God to descend like fire upon the people and purify their souls and have them come to the cross, which is the only place you can find salvation.
Amen.
That's prayer. That's what we need. It's not about you. It's about Him.
Amen.
God have that happen in Coney Island.
Amen.
Let what happened in Scotland happen in Coney Island. Let these people who ran from the storm, from the floodwaters for their physical lives, run for their lives from the storm of darkness that has held this community captive for 100 years. Amen. Let them run to the churches like they did in Scotland, crying for mercy, asking, repenting, not coming here for clothes, not coming here for money, not coming here to be told nice things even though they never repented, coming to have their souls saved.
Amen. Amen.
King Jesus protects